Okay, good to see you this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you will, the fifth chapter division. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We do have some more of the lessons here right off up front. If you need to fill in your booklet, your book rather, then they'll be up here. And I think it goes through last week's lesson maybe or the week before. Then if you run behind, let me know. We'll get you some others. But we'll have those up there for you right on the front pew to my left here if you want to pick one up after Sunday school. Today we want to talk about the fruits of biblical ministry. The fruits of biblical ministry. We're in a series called Fruit by the Bushel. And we know we have to be rooted in Christ, and we're to produce fruit, but the right kind of fruit and an abundant amount of fruit. Not just a little bit, but a lot, a bushel of fruit. That's the idea, is that we produce fruit for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5, and let's look at these verses together. I'll read those. You follow along, beginning with verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'm glad that's in there. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He's pulled us back to himself, brought us back to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray ye in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he's talking about Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him or in Christ. Now, Paul had some motivating factors in his life, some things that made him do what he did. And one of those was the fact that he knew Christ had died and paid for his sins. That should be a motivating factor in my life and your life, to serve him, because we know that Jesus died. God gave his son to save us so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And so that ought to be a motivation to us to want to do something for God. When we think about that, he was grateful and he wanted to live for Jesus because he knew Jesus had died for him. And then another motivation was that God had given him a new challenge or a new purpose in ministry, and that was the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 18 again in our text. And he reminds us of this, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and then hath given to us, Paul speaking of himself and other believers, the ministry of reconciliation. I'm saved, and I want to glorify God, and he's given me a calling, a ministry of reconciliation. Before he was saved, Paul was involved in self-promotion. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, going up the ladder, climbing the ladder of religion, and also it gave him some clout in the culture of his day. And that's what he was trying to do, zealous as a Pharisee. Now, you and I have a reason to live today, not just to make a living or not just to satisfy the flesh, but God has given us a calling. God has given us something to do since he has saved us. And so we have a reason to be living for the Lord because of the same reasons Paul did. A little girl was interested in seeing her mother and grandmother have some important things in their purses, credit cards and checkbooks and some other things that they carried in their purses. And so this little girl wanted to have something important to carry in her purse, to carry to school with her. And so she found her birth certificate and put it in her purse. And then when she got to school, she was wanting to let people know she had something important. They were out on the playground, and she took her birth certificate out, and a whip of wind came by and blew it away from her. And so she began to cry. And a janitor came by and asked her why she was crying. And this is what she said as her tears streamed down her cheeks. She said, "I just lost my excuse for being born. I just lost my excuse for being born." Well, sometimes Christians, if we're not careful, we lose the real reason that God saved us and for why he leaves us down here, for why he didn't call us on to heaven and take us to heaven. And so we need to realize what our purpose is. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our purpose and lose the reason for it. And we have, God has told us very clearly in these verses, we have a ministry of reconciliation. A ministry of reconciliation. Bringing people who are away from God to God. And bringing them back in a right relationship with God or getting them saved is what we're talking about. And we have that. So in America, we think our purpose is the American dream. Making money, having fun, having pleasure, the thrills of life, all of that. Being successful in our career. We think these are the main callings, but they're really not. Hopefully we realize life is a whole lot more than that. And our purpose in life is a whole lot more than that. And yet that's sort of the way a lot of Christians live their lives. You watch them and that's what motivates us, what motivates them. And these are some of the very same things that do that. But we are ambassadors, the Bible tells us. We are ambassadors. We carry the gospel. We take the gospel to other people. We think sometimes, well, that's just for the preacher and the youth director, the church staff, maybe the deacons. And after that, I don't have that responsibility. But that's not true. If you're saved, you have that responsibility, and I have that responsibility. We're to be rooted in Christ, and because of that, we're to be fruitful for Christ. And this is one of the ways in this purpose of reconciliation. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be rooted and fruitful? Let me mention about two or three things that will help us realize that in three different aspects of it. Roman numeral 1 in the outline there is to be rooted in the Scripture. To be rooted in the Scripture. And that's verses 18 through 19. And he tells us in these verses, we go back to them again, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed," notice this, "unto us," what? "The word of reconciliation." So he's committed to us the word of reconciliation, and it's tied to the Scripture. Three different reasons we should be rooted in the Scripture. A, in the outline, Scripture, of course, we know this, should know it, is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Therefore, we have something powerful that we take with us. When I go out knocking on doors, I take at least the New Testament with me because I have the Word of God there. And I can use that and it goes with me. It's not our cleverness. It's not our tricking people into being saved, going through some kind of way that we just know that it's sort of like a good lawyer. There's only one answer you can give, you know. Like they asked this man, have you quit beating your wife? Well, what's he going to say? If he says yes, that means he was. If he says no, he's in trouble. So that's a lawyer's question, and a lawyer's answer would be what it would be. And so we have the same type thing. And we can trick people into being saved. But here's what the Bible reminds us of. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech, Paul said, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Notice that. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm thinking of Brother Gene Arnold, who was my wife's pastor. She got saved under his ministry. He got saved under Dr. Raymond Barber's father's ministry in Danville, Virginia. And he came out of a textile mill, had about a seventh grade education, and sometimes had a way of slaughtering the King's English. But he could go out and preach. I've been with him when he preached, and out in a country church or in a tent revival somewhere, and 30 and 40 people get saved. Well, he didn't go in the power of his education and man's wisdom and all of that and enticing words. But Brother Gene Arnold had the power of the Holy Spirit on him. And a man that had very little education had a church at one time that was up around 700, 800 at one point. And so it's not all of these things. It's the power of the Word of God to do it. And so the Bible reveals the mind of God. You've heard Dr. Barber say that so many times as he'd get ready to preach, something of that nature. And so Peter tells 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't just man sitting down and writing it, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we're to be rooted in the ministry means we're rooted in the Bible. We're rooted in the Word of God. Now, how are we going to be rooted in the Scripture? How are we going to be rooted, really rooted, in the Scripture like we should? Well, obviously, number one, we've got to study the Scripture. And I'm afraid sometimes we read through the Bible and we say, I read through the Bible. Or we read a certain thing, maybe in some devotions. But we're supposed to study the Scripture. That means slow down, get you some helps, a Bible dictionary, some kind of commentaries that are good conservative commentaries, and sit down and study the Scripture. There's too many times we say, well, I read through it again this year. I read through the Bible again this year. We read it, we don't know any more than we knew hardly than when we read through it the last year. We're to read through the Bible, learn the Bible, learn the doctrines of the faith, dig deep in the Word of God, spend some time in it studying the Word. Paul said to Timothy, study. That requires work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a wrong way to divide it. And so we ought to be familiar with this like a carpenter is with his tools. We are craftsmen. These are our tools. This is our main tool, the Scriptures, as we go out and witness, and we're to be familiar with them. I'm amazed sometimes how a good painter can paint. I try to put tape down and try to put a line on it, and then I get it all over the baseboard. But a good painter can come through there, and boy, he's got that. He knows exactly what brush to have, exactly how to do it, or a carpenter, cabinet maker, whatever it is. We have the Word of God. Secondly, meditate on the Scripture. Don't just study the Scripture, but meditate. In other words, get the Scriptures in your mind and in your thoughts. Think about it, study it, and then bring it down to your mind and in your thoughts and in your heart. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And you've heard the illustration, like a cow has more than one stomach and they regurgitate and they chew again and pull it back in and chew it. And that's the idea. Chew on the Word of God. And the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Think about it. Meditate. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Think about it. If you don't think about it, you won't do what it says. So meditate on the Scripture. Study the Scripture. And obviously, thirdly, practice the Scripture. Practice the Scripture. In other words, obey the Scripture. James said, don't just be doers of the word, hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And that means we're to learn it and then live by it. David Livingstone, when he was going into the heart of Africa, started out with a number of books, about 70 books that he took with him. And as they went along and as they continued to go into the heart of Africa, some of the workers dropped out, kept dropping out, and he'd have to discard some of the books. And he left all of that library he had taken with him, 70 books, out there in the jungle to rot. But the one book he kept, the one book that stayed with him, was the Word of God. And that is the one necessary book we have, is the Word of God. We need that as our resource. So, Scripture, B in your outline, is the center of ministry. It's the Word of God, and it is the center of ministry. When we say ministry, what do we think of? A lot of times we think of caring for somebody that's shut in, or helping somebody out that needs a little money or a little help or whatever, taking them some groceries if they don't have groceries. And that is ministry. That is a form of ministry. But when you study the word ministry in the Bible, over and over, when it's talking about ministry, it is usually associated with the Bible, the Word of God. And whether it's teaching or preaching or whatever it may be, delivering the Word of God. For instance, in Acts 21:19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. He told them what God had done. He was telling them about the Bible. In other words, things God had wrought, he was preaching the word. He's saying, this is what God has done. And as a result, the lives were changed because of that ministry. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What's that? The ministry I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So ministry and the word are tied together. And though you may help people in a lot of other areas, if we don't give them the gospel, we haven't fulfilled our ministry. Some people say, well, that again, that's the job of the preacher. That's the job of the teachers. But that's part of their job. But part of their job is to equip you to go out and do the same thing. That's why he calls preachers and teachers to equip people who have been saved to go out and do the same thing. Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? He says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build us up in the work of the ministry, that is edifying, building up the body of Christ. So when I think of young converts and new Christians, I'm thinking that the greatest ministry we can have for them immediately is to train them in the Word of God, to build them up, to disciple them. It's so important that churches disciple. And so the Bible is the center of ministry. It reveals the truth about reconciliation. It's there. And then see in your outline, Scripture gives God's plan of reconciliation. It gives God's plan of reconciliation. It's not just a book to be read, but it is a message to be delivered. Let me say that again. It's not just a book to be read, but it is a message to be delivered, to take to someone else. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 in our text, where he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so we are given this word of reconciliation. So that scripture gives God's plan of reconciliation. We've got to know what it is. And we know that Jesus came to do what? To reconcile us. Jesus came in a human body to reconcile us to Christ. And so our job, he's saying that we are to do the same thing. Our job is to be ready at all times to tell other people about Christ, to be ready to do it, to be on set on ready to witness and tell others about Christ. Nassau down in Houston, they have a plaque on the wall and admission control, and it reads this way. Listen, to always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. Ultimate consequences. In other words, how well they perform is life or death for those astronauts up there. And they have to be diligent to do that. And that's something we need to do. We need to seize the opportunity. Our theme for our national meeting this year and the semi-annual meeting was seize the opportunity. Well, that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. We need to be on ready, looking for the opportunities to witness and seize those opportunities. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and hear this, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do it humbly with meekness and fear, but be ready, always ready to give that answer. Whether you're in a grocery store or maybe a co-worker somewhere, you seize those opportunities, maybe when you're with relatives, maybe at an accident, the scene of an accident. I remember one night in Connersville, Indiana, we lived right on the main highway coming into town, two-lane highway. And man, I heard this horrible crash. I got up and took off and went outside, and the lady next door that lived next door to us, she was a nurse. She came running out, and two guys had hit a big tree, I mean a huge oak tree, head on. He was in a truck, and they were drunk, and they hit that tree head on. And the guy was bleeding all over, and the nurse, the neighbor nurse said, I don't think he's going to make it. And so I began to witness to him, tell him about the Lord. I said, you're in bad shape, man. I said, I need to tell you, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. If you hadn't, he cursed and didn't want God, and I don't need God and all that kind of stuff. They rushed him to the hospital, and in the emergency room, they said he raised up and hollered, oh God, and died. He didn't need God. My point in telling you that is at least I witnessed to him. At least he had an opportunity there. Now, if he did something between there and the emergency room, I don't know. I rather doubt it. But you say, well, he was drunk, he wouldn't know. Well, I expect when he hit that tree and he was about to die, he might have sobered up a little bit for a while. I don't know. But I'm just saying we need to seize any opportunity and see those opportunities to tell people about Christ. Share the word, and these are our tools of the ministry. So we need to be rooted in Scripture. Secondly, rooted in service. We need to be rooted in service. We need to move from studying the Word of God to sharing the Word of God. A in your outline under number 2 is Christ has given us a specific ministry. Verse 19 again, he tells us that we have this word of reconciliation. That's very specific. It's a trusted assignment, one that he gives to us. Suppose the president gave you a letter to deliver to somebody. You'd feel pretty important about it and say, I got to get this letter to them. Well, we've been given a letter that's more important than anything the president could ever give us to give to the world. And our letter is from the King of Kings. And our ministry is to deliver the word to other people. And so Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, What did he come for? Even so, send I you. I'm sending you. And then B, Christ has given us a privileged office. Back in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And doesn't that sound good? We are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Ambassador represents one country to another country. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ from heaven to people here on earth. And that's quite a title for us to have. It has with it also a great responsibility. Wow, I'm an ambassador for Christ. So are you. An ambassador. So strut, you know. I'm an ambassador for Christ, the King of Kings, to go out and deliver the message. So don't get sidetracked by sin and this world. Any other occupation is really secondary to that and is a waste of grace. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What he means is to be fruitful. Number three, Roman numeral three, be rooted in the Savior. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A, in your outline, we are rooted through the gospel. Rooted through the gospel. Obviously, that's first step. Step number one is get saved. We're rooted. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things pass away, all things become new. We're rooted in Christ. How? Through the gospel. B, we are rooted by the Spirit. We are rooted by the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you. Acts 1:8. We're rooted in the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit of God. We're indwelled by the Spirit of God. And we should not be afraid to witness. We should remember he's with us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the source of your power. You say, I'm inadequate. I don't know how to do it. I'm inadequate. You've got to depend on the Holy Spirit. And he says that we have the Holy Ghost and we should go in the power of the Holy Spirit and not fear. So we have biblical ministry that God has given us, and we are ambassadors. And what are we to do? We're to get this word out, this message of reconciliation. People are lost. They are away from God. And he that believeth not is condemned already. And they need somebody to say, look, I have your answer. There's God. There you are, sinner. And I can tell you how to be reconciled, how you can get on the right side of God and be justified. And what a ministry that is. Now, go back to Nassau. There's the rest of that plaque reads this way, another sentence. To recognize that the greatest error is not to have tried and failed, but that in trying, we do not give it our best effort. We need to give it our best effort and to try to win people to Christ. And again, it's a matter of life and death. You have neighbors, relatives, co-workers, all people all around us. And our mission, God gives us, is the ministry of reconciliation. He gives us the reconciliation so that eternal destinies are in the balance. They're going to die and go to heaven or hell. We need to reach them with the gospel. And the purpose of this is fruitfulness, to be faithfully shared, and then to not neglect it so that lost people will come to Christ. And remember this, roots bear fruit. We're rooted in Christ. We're saved. We should be bearing fruit. We should be rooted in the Word of God. We ought to be rooted in the Word of God. Consistent in ministry. Consistent in ministry. That is this, what ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Consistent in that, and simply means share the gospel with the Word of God, and the fruit will abound, and people will come to Christ because we do what God has told us to do. The fruits of biblical ministry. Father, thank you for your word and the challenge. And even Jesus, as you by the Father were given the calling to come here, the ministry of reconciliation, help those of us who have been reconciled to Christ to realize we are ambassadors indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And help us not to trust in our education or lack of it or our abilities or lack of them, but in the power of the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and use it so that people will come to Christ and be saved. Help us to be busy about reconciling people to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.